You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, so you ought to be able to find it. And we're going to go through every single verse by every single word. No. We're going to start in verse 73, okay? And we're going to end in verse 80. So we're going to take seven verses out of this chapter of Scripture that I think has got like 170-something verses in it. And so we're going to look at this and we're going to see. We've been talking about the love of God. The love of God is the series that we're in. Man, what a great thing to just say out loud, the love of God. It's an amazing thing. So welcome to Siena. Welcome to Cyprus, downtown, Espanol, those watching on the web, listening on the radio, Loop, everything. We're just so glad to jump in together into Psalm 119, verse 73. Now, in my sabbatical time, I told you I went to a place called J.H. Ranch. It's up in Northern California, and they have a beautiful property, beautiful place. They have this ropes course. Ropes course is basically where they connect you with a rope and they scare you to death all afternoon long, okay? That's what they do. And they tell you it's fine and it can hold up a Volkswagen by these ropes and all these things, but in your heart, you're like, yeah, but Jesus said, lo, I will be with you always, right? And so I don't want to be up here on these high ropes course. And so here we are, we jump onto them, and there's going to be this one aspect of the ropes course they call the 757. It's a telephone pole that goes 50 feet in the air. You climb up on the telephone pole, up 50 feet. It's a telephone pole. It's like this big at the top. You stand at the top as the thing's wobbling 50 feet in the air. And then you jump off this telephone pole to catch a trapeze that's 7 feet away. That's why they call it the 757, okay? So you jump out and you grab this and you get this trapeze, and only like 30% of the people catch the trapeze. So you got to be tall enough, you got to jump enough, you got to do all these sort of things, and you're paying to do this. I mean, this is fun. I'm not sure of this. But so you get up on the 757, you stand up there, you jump off, connected to a rope, of course, and you grab onto the trapeze. And then once you grab the trapeze, everybody cheers. And then guess what happens? You let go of the trapeze. And the rope you were worried about holding you as you jump out is the rope that's going to hold you as you're lowered down. So here's the thing. As I sat there looking at it, I thought, you know what? It doesn't matter whether you catch it or not. You're still relying upon the same rope. Now, here's the glory of God. You were praying for me on my sabbatical, and I'm so glad, because here's how God answered your prayer. The day before I was going to do the 757 with my group, they had to do some maintenance on it, and it was closed the next day. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you. God answered your prayers. It was great. Now, I'd have done it and no problem, but I'm glad I didn't have to, right? Here's the point. Whether you succeed or whether you fail, you need the rope. Whether you catch it or whether you miss it, you need the rope. Whether you nail it or whether you fail it, you need the rope. And so it is with the love of God. Whether your life has been great catches, diving out in risk, or your life seems to be falling off the pole before you even get to the top over and over and over again, you need the rope of God's love. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, you will need the rope every single day of God's love. And so when that came to a realization of, if I catch it, I have to have the rope. If I miss it, I have to have the rope, the illustration moves very easily to life. Now let's look at Psalm 119, verse 73. We're just going to concentrate really on verse 76. But as I read this, it's a verse of Scripture, a passage of Scripture. Just my reading it, I could close my Bible at the end of reading it, and you would have been ministered to. So I want you to hear it in that way. These seven verses, hear the strength of the rope that is belaying you. The word belay means to keep the rope tight. The tight rope that is holding you of God's love. Verse 73, your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding so, underline so in your Bible, so I can learn your commands. Those who fear you will see me and rejoice, for I put my hope in your word. I know, Lord, that your judgments are just. Now hear this, this is wow. And that you have afflicted me fairly. Ooh. Verse 76, our key verse. May your faithful love comfort me as you promised your servant. May your compassion come to me so that I may live, and your instruction is my delight. Let the arrogant be put to shame for slandering me with lies. I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you, those who know you, know your decrees, turn to me. May my heart be blameless regarding your statutes. Now, this is an amazing passage of scripture. It begins, or it talks about some different things, but in verse 76, it says, may your faithful love comfort me. That's our key verse that we're talking about in this. Last time we were together, we talked about God's faithful love. God's love is irrevocable, steadfast, and faithful. That was the big point of last week. God's love for us is irrevocable, steadfast, and faithful. We get that same Hebrew word there of steadfast, of faithful, of irrevocable, of ironclad, of irreversible, of without appeal. All of the words that we used last week of talking about this legal definition that we could give for irrevocable, that his love can never be taken away. It's beyond recall. It's binding, changeless, definite, final, firm, fixed, immutable, impossible to change, indelible, indestructible, indissolvable, lasting, non-reversible, permanent, reverseless, settled, stabled, unable to be annulled, unalterable, unavoidable, unchangeable, unrepealable, and without appeal. It's certain, conclusive, decisive, definite, determinative, ironclad. His love for you is absolutely white hot at all times. No matter what you do, it's based on his character, not your actions. And what it has here in verse 76 that's so huge for us, it says, may your faithful love comfort me. Now, this word here, I want us to say this verse of scripture together, because I want us to just put this, if you're looking for a memory verse, let's just work on a great memory verse. This faithful love that we've been talking about last week, this word here, hesed, H-E-S-E-D, it's a Hebrew word, it means faithful. It's all those words I just mentioned. That's what the same word that we talked about in Exodus last week, when we looked into Exodus, this is the same word. So we're just going right along. May your faithful love comfort me as you promised your servant. Say that with me three times. You ready? May your faithful love comfort me as you promised your servant. Again, may your faithful love comfort me as you promised your servant. May your faithful love comfort me as you promised your servant. It's easy to remember even the reference, Psalm 1, 1976. We can remember 1976, can't we? Because a year, many of us remember that year. We at least have heard of it, okay? So 1, 1976, Psalms 1, 1976, so that we could say, may your faithful love comfort me as your servant. God's love is faithful. You are loved by a faithful God. No matter what the chaos of your life looks like, your God is faithful. Jesus Christ is faithful. He loves you no matter what your life looks like, no matter what the world looks like. He loves you and me with a faithful, ironclad, irrevocable love. Man's love is fickle. That's why we have to have these things. What are these? This is a notary seal. This says that when you sign something, I watched you sign something, so that when you say you didn't sign something, I can say I watched you sign something. Because all of us have in us a fickleness. There's a temptation to lie. So we've got to seal it with a notary seal to say, by the power of the state of Texas, I'm a person that can say, I watched that person sign that document, and it's real and it's true. The reason we have to have a notary seal is because of the fickleness of man, is it not? But God has not sealed us with a notary seal. God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, he says this, for I am persuaded that not even death, nor life, nor angels, or rulers, or things present, or things to come, or hostile powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created being will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing could separate us. Why? Because he sealed us, 2 Corinthians 1:22. He has sealed us and given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment in our hearts. So when I get to heaven and I stand before the Lord, then the Holy Spirit is my down payment to buy that mansion, if you will, in heaven. In Ephesians chapter 1, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, that Jesus paid the price for you and you could place your faith in him. And when you believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In his faithfulness, he sealed us in the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. 245 times this Hebrew word is used in the Old Testament to be a faithful love of God. And from the faithfulness of God, watch, from the faithfulness of God comes the comfort of God. Why am I building the base of faithfulness? I'm building the base of faithfulness because if you don't have conviction and commitment, you don't have real comfort. You cannot be comforted by a fickle God. It can't happen. A fickle God cannot comfort you. It's got to be a faithful God, because when we rest in his comfort, we're exhausted. We need something. We're depleted. We've done something wrong. We've made a mistake. We've made a miscalculation. And now here we are, and we have all that we can do is just fall in the arms of Jesus. And I got to know, and you got to know, he's faithful if we're going to really trust in his comfort. All of us are looking for comfort, aren't we? We're all looking for a bit of help. The atheist, the agnostic, we're all looking for comfort. My wife is from a town called Comfort, Texas. That's where she's from. I've spent a lot of time in Comfort, Texas. It's an awesome little bed and breakfast type of town. If you ever pass through and you talk to somebody, we're probably cousins with them, okay? I mean, it's just 1,200 people and 2,000 cows, okay? Is what it, I mean, it's just Comfort, Texas. I've sat on the back porch with the lemonade, looking over the hill country of Texas in Comfort, Texas. But I tell you this, Comfort, Texas even isn't enough to comfort your heart and your soul. You can sit with lemonade on the back of the biggest mansion with the best view, and it won't comfort your heart and your soul. The faithful love of God is what we need to comfort us. We all seek comfort, because we've all experienced grief. We've all experienced loneliness. We've all experienced guilt. We've made mistakes. We have wounds. We've been overwhelmed by stress and pressure. We lack control. We've had loss. So where do we find comfort? That's the big question. Where do we find comfort? Is the comfort found in the fatherhood and the faithfulness of God? Or is the comfort found in something quick? We're looking for something quick. We want something shallow, not something deep. We want something fading, not fulfilling. We want to go to food, to shopping, to pornography, to technology, to TV, to movies, to noise. We want to go to a person, when the true comfort comes from God himself. That's where it comes from. Listen to this quote by this young lady, an American college student. She wrote a reflection, a blog, about how her eyes were opened when she had traveled abroad and she'd come back to America, of how her own generation, the millennial generation, this college student writes about how her own generation looks for comfort. Here's what she says as a millennial. Does our generation value immediate comfort over real happiness? Question mark. That was the title of it. We trade hours of Netflix movies for actual human connection, something the soul craves. We brush off disagreements in relationships, acting as if we do not know why we are unhappy. We go to the quick things instead of the deep things. But I want you to hear me loud and clear. God's love is faithful. God's faithful love is a comforting love. His faithful love is a comforting love. We're all looking for it. The only question is, where will we turn for it? Will we turn to something quick, or will we turn to something eternal? Now, God's love can be quick as well, but here's what we do. Watch what will happen. Just do this little sociological study. Watch when people get uncomfortable, and what's the first thing we grab for? Our phone. We don't know what to do. Let me look. Let me see. And that becomes our security blanket, because now we go here, so we don't have to go here. God's love is faithful. God's love is a faithful love. It's a comforting love. When we did our project, our Houston project, that we went out all over the city, our downtown campus did some surveys, some spiritual surveys. They asked 72 people. They said this: on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high, what is your current desire to have a personal relationship with God? 1 is low, 10 is high. What's your personal desire to have a personal relationship with God? This is probably going to blow you away. 47.2% said a 10. Almost half said, I want a personal relationship with God. 72% indicated 6 or higher. What does that identify? That identifies that the people that surround us, whether it's atheist, agnostic, Protestant, Catholic, Jew or Gentile, Muslim or Hindu, all of us are looking for comfort. And we're realizing it's got to be something deeper. 72% say maybe a personal relationship with God would be what it is. And then our group would be able to pray for them and share with them a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's just on the streets of Houston that's there. We seek comfort. C.S. Lewis warns us, though, nothing more than the true Christian faith brings comfort. But he cautions us also, don't seek comfort as the end of the ending goal. It's a relationship with God that brings comfort. That's the ending goal, not just our personal comfort. So how do we get this? Comfort is found in Jesus. Let me quickly just tell you 3 things from the scripture that we can find the comfort of Jesus. And that this is how you do it. Okay, we want it. We need it. We've identified it comes from faithfulness. We've identified that comfort, Texas, and lemonade's not going to do it for you every time. We've got to have something deeper. So how do we do it? Let me give you 3 things. They're found in the scripture. Number 1 is this: submission to the Heavenly One, an affirmation of wise ones. Submission to the Heavenly One, affirmation of wise ones. Let me read it to you. Just listen to it. Verse 73 through 75. Your hands have made me and formed me and give me understanding. So creation, so that I can learn your commands. So I'm submitting that you're my creator and I'm going to lay that down so I can learn your commands. Verse 74. Those who fear you will see me and rejoice. That's the wise ones. Those that know the Lord will see me and rejoice. They'll say, that person's walking in wisdom. For I've put my hope in your word. I know, Lord, that your judgments are just and you have afflicted me fairly. Now get that. I'm submitting that you have created me. I'm submitting to the Heavenly One. I'm submitting that what you've afflicted me with, what you've allowed to happen in my life, that it's just and it's fair from your eyes, and you're building me up and giving me perseverance through this trial. It's going to have good in my life, even though there's pain now in my life. So I'm trusting in that, and those who know you and fear you, they look at me and they receive me. So you get out of the peace of or the comfort of God. You're not on the right path of discovering his comfort when the wise people of God come around you and say, you're going on the wrong path. You want the wisdom, the people that fear the Lord, to come around you and say, hang in there, buddy. It's okay. Keep walking. The sun will break again. The clouds will part again. So we are, number 1, we're submissive to the Heavenly One, and we're affirmed by wise ones. We submit to our Heavenly Father, and we're embraced by our Heavenly Father, and wise people say, yes, that's the right plan. We've been working off this picture. I hope that you have gotten this book, that we have more. We sold out here at the Loop campus. We have more for you, though, today. The Return of the Prodigal by Henri Nouwen. And it's this picture by Rembrandt. This isn't the original. But to have this picture, and it's the prodigal son coming into the arms of the father with his hands blessing him. Do you see a faithful love in him? A faithful love. We gave out pictures last time we were together for you to put on your refrigerator. It's on our refrigerator at home. I hope it went to your refrigerator or your mirror someplace to look at that. And to be able to see this picture and to see that he's come and he's hugging and he's loving, and it's a comforting love. It's a comforting love. And a love that he's submitted to his Heavenly Father through the earthly father that's there. Now let me give you 2 pieces of scripture. In Luke 15, verse 20, we have this one verse of scripture which is talking about going to the prodigal son, the one that's gone out. We're talking about the father coming and the affirmation of the Heavenly Father. So he got up and he went to his father. While his son was a long way off, he saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran, threw his arms around his neck, and he kissed him. Now, no adult in Jewish culture would run. It was shameful to run. But his love was so great for his son, the faithful father ran and hugged him. That's what happened with the prodigal son that wasted all of his wealth. Now, let's look and see what happened with the elder son. Verse 28, then he became angry, the older brother, and didn't want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. Do you see that the father also went to the elder son as well? He ran to the younger son that had wasted all the money. But the elder son as well had a hard heart and was sinful in a different category. And he went outside the house and he went to him. I want you to hear that you, as you go to the Lord, as we submit to the heavenly one, that wise ones will say, yes, go to God, that God will meet you as the older son outside the house and hug you. And he will meet you as the prodigal son as you run, and he runs to you and he comes to you. Trust in him. Grab this book. I hope you'll grab this book and read it over the next couple weeks so that we could just be going together about this story of the prodigal son. It's a deep, good read for us. Number two, seek submission and receive comfort. Trails along with what we just said, number one, submission to the heavenly one, being God the Father, affirmation of wise ones. Number two, seek submission and receive comfort in his love. Did you see what it said there in verse 76, our memory verse? May your faithful love comfort me as you promised your servant. Servant gives the word of submission. As you promised your servant, I want to submit to you. Here's the great news. Receive comfort in his love. Comfort is not earned, it's received. You don't have to earn it. You can seek it, yes, by seeking God, but he gives it to you and you receive it. Number three, a deeper delight in the doorway of comforting love. A deeper delight is in the doorway of comforting love. That's an amazing, amazing thought. It says there in verse 77, if you'll look, your instruction is my delight. My delight. Do you delight in the things of God? Pray that God would give you a delight in his things. And as you delight in his things, here's what will happen. You will be comforted by his love. As you delight in his love, if you disdain his love, then you're also disdaining his comfort because you're pushing away his faithful love. And as you push away his faithful love, you're bringing close to yourself pain. Instead, receive, hug, be hugged by. Let him seek you outside the party to be able to say, I want you to receive my faithful love and delight in his love. Delight in his love. And when that happens, when those three things happen, watch what happens. He turns your pain around. You submit to the heavenly one. We receive his comfort. We delight in him. And then in the last verse that we'll look over in verse 79, let those who fear you, those who know your decrees, turn to me. Let those who fear you and those who know your decrees turn to me. You know what this is? Our misery becomes our ministry. Servant hearts become serving hands. Servant hearts become serving hands. So God takes this pain, we go through it with the comfort that we receive from God, and now God takes our misery and makes it our ministry. No one is better to care for somebody in a painful divorce than somebody who's gone through a painful divorce and submitted it to the Lord. No one is better in grief than someone that has experienced grief and has given it to the Lord and to care for that person going in grief. Our misery becomes our ministry. Our servant hearts become our servant hands. Listen to it in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Listen to this as it wraps up. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to receive the comfort, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For the sufferings of Christ overflow to us so that through Christ our comfort also overflows. Listen to this. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is experienced in your endurance of the same sufferings we suffered. And our hope for you is firm because we know that you share in the suffering so that you will share in the comfort. We know why, because I've been there. I understand. I know what that's like. And we're going to share now the comfort of that. So let God use your misery to make it your ministry and let your servant heart become your servant's hands. Queen Victoria, during her reign, she heard of a lady who was a common laborer, just a peasant, if you will, before the queen. And she had lost a baby. Queen Victoria had experienced deep sorrow herself, and she felt moved to express her sympathy. So she called on the grieving woman one day to spend some time with her. And the lady came, spent time with the queen, and the neighbors asked, what did the queen have to say? A peasant coming to the palace to speak to the queen. What did the queen say? And the grieving mom said this, nothing. She simply put her hands on mine and we silently wept together with the comfort you receive. God's love is a comforting love. Life is very difficult. And the way we get that comfort is by realizing it's faithful. It's not fickle. It's white hot in love with you forever. He loves you, and he's not fickle. It's ironclad, irrevocable. And that love, then as we delight in it, we realize his comfort that he gives. And so I'd say to you this, whether you succeed or whether you fail, whether you're filled with joy or filled with pain, you will need the rope of God's love. Whether you catch the trapeze or whether you miss it, that same rope is going to lower you down. It's going to belay you. The word belay means to keep the rope tight. God's going to keep the rope tight as he lowers you down from success or failure in his faithful love. It's faithful. It's comforting. May your faithful love comfort me, just as your servant has promised, Psalm 1:19:76. Have you let him comfort you? Have you trusted him as your great delight? Let that be the truth of your heart. No matter where you are, you and I both need the rope of his love. Father, we come in Jesus' name and we thank you, Lord, in the midst of pain, the midst of joy, and everything in between. We come and we just thank you that the love of God shows itself in comfort, that you comfort us, Lord. And your comforting love compels us, allows us to walk with you. But Jesus, we come in this time, Lord, would you just meet us right where we are? Some of us, we're hanging onto that trapeze of our success. Some of us, we just keep jumping and missing. Most of the people actually on the 757 miss. We trust in that rope, Lord, of your love. No one can snatch us from your hand. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to live in your heart, would you come, as this Rembrandt painting suggests, to a loving, kind Father? You may have done everything right, and you're just the elder brother, and you're still outside the feast of God in Christ. Or you've lived some crazy, crazy journeys. Come to his loving hands. He'll run to you. He'll come out and plead with you. And he'll shower you in his faithful love. Come to him, whatever campus, come. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.